The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. Settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Travis.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Doing great, thank you.
Good.
Gonna wake him up.
How you doing, partner?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Doing good.
So far, so good. We live in this beautiful area up here in the territory of Jefferson. Couldn't be any better. Oh, yes, it could.
It could be, because we have Janet Chandler with us, so that makes it better right there.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. If you have a question or comment for Janet or for any of us here, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are going to get right into this. Mm-hmm. I want to introduce our guest, Janet Chandler. Janet, tell the folks a little bit of something about yourself, my dear.
I am Mother Jefferson.
That's a fact.
Yes. I have spent the last several years of my life promoting the state of Jefferson and doing what I can to make sure that it happens. More than just a state of Jefferson, we need better representation. We need to be involved in our government, and that's how I've done it, is by promoting Jefferson. My husband and I were involved in the creation of the state of Jefferson Constitution. We worked on that with a team of people for over a year. Every Saturday morning from 9 to noon, we were on a teleconference putting together this document. It taught me a lot about government. And then recently we had a conference in which Chris Ann Hall was talking about the California Constitution, which I had always just dismissed as being irrelevant and unimportant, until I actually went back and took a second look and realized it's the keys to the kingdom. It's the silver bullet. We can use our California Constitution to get a lot of the things that we're working for.
Well, that was the Free and the Brave conference that we were at on the 15th through the 17th of
awesome.
January.
That was
great. And Janet takes notes that are you can read.
If you want cliff notes, those are nothing compared to what Janet does.
And you can read everything. It's like, are you kidding me? I can't write that fast. And when I do, I could have been a doctor writing a prescription.
Yeah, it looks like I wrote it.
Yeah.
I'm not an auditory learner. I don't remember what I hear, but I remember it if I write it down. So everything gets written down.
Well, let's get into this and talk a little bit about the Board of Supervisors also and kind of tie that in. But before we do that, Wynn, you should have gotten a text from Sal.
Right now?
Yep, so you should have a text on there about a number that folks can call the Board of Supervisors Tuesday.
Yeah, I have a couple things like that, but we'll do this one first.
Okay.
You can call in to the Board of Supervisors for Tuesday. And you can call in at 225-5270. That would be for leaving a recorded message, your voicemail. And do it now. Do it between now and, I would say, no later than Monday noon, because by then it could be filled up and they may stop listening to them that are recorded up to that point. You never know what's going to happen. So the sooner you get it, you know, be the first hog to the trough. You want to be the first one there, get it done. And then the second number I'm going to give you is going to be the number that you can call in during the board meeting. And you can leave the message there. And that will be 978-990-5000. 978-990-5000. And then there's a code that goes with that. And the code is six digits. It's 704-163. 704-163. and the hashtag or pound sign after that.
Now, the reason that we'd like everybody to call in and show up if you can is that Supervisor Jones and Supervisor Baugh are being censured by Herr Modi and Mary Rickert. They are being censured for opening up the chambers, which was, basically unbelievable that it's ever been closed. Now, I know Janet's going to cover that in a lot of what she talks about, but that's the reason. I mean, here is two guys that do the right thing. And the thing that really bothers me about this is when we were at the peak, or at least in some people's minds, the peak of COVID, the Board of Supervisors was open only for them. Moms and their kids had to stand outside when it was smoky from the fire we had just had. It was hot, 100 degrees minimum, and they had to stand outside and go in one at a time and stand at the very back of the room and weren't allowed in there. While the supervisor sat in there, and many of these wives with their kids, husbands had lost their jobs due to COVID or their businesses had been shut down. So I believe that Mr. Jones and Mr. Baugh did the right thing, most people do, by opening this chamber up, and we need to support them so they're supporting the Constitution and not the social fake contract. Janet, my dear, take us home, kid.
Okay, first I'm going to make a disclaimer. I am not a constitutional attorney or even a constitutional lawyer, and there is a difference. I'm not a constitutional expert. I don't claim to be. But let's face it. The Constitution was not written for attorneys and lawyers and experts. The Constitution was written for the people, and I qualify under that category. The Constitution should be able to and is able to be read by and understood by the people. And if that's not possible, then it's not relevant to the people. So don't call up and say, well, where did you get your training? I got my training when I was in first grade and learned to read. And all of you did too. So you can read the Constitution. It's not written in a foreign language. It's written quite obviously. And if it takes a great deal of interpretation, then it needs to be revised. But it doesn't take a lot of interpretation. It's straightforward. For our purposes, the most important part of the Constitution is in Article 20, under miscellaneous subjects, and that is the oath of office. All of our city, county, state officials and employees have to take the oath of office. It says, I swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. And then there is a section that says, and they have to swear to this also, that they are not now, they never have been, and they never will be a member of any party or organization that advocates the overthrow of the government of the United States or the government of California by force or violence. And now that seems so trivial. I said, well, of course not. Nobody's doing that. But then I would refer you to Trevor Loudon. Mm-hmm. Go to his website. Look up what he has to say. He even has a page in which he lists 65 people who are causing danger with their beliefs and their following in our government. And I've had it here. Are these people actually looking for the overthrow of our government? After what has happened in our federal government over the last 2 months, we're not certain anymore just what is going on and is our government at risk. Not only do the people have to swear to this, they have to sign it. And they have to sign it under oath. Okay, that's where we are. They have signed under oath that they're going to uphold two constitutions. Now, I don't know about you, But if I've signed under oath that I'm going to uphold something, I darn sure better know what's in it. Do they?
No, I don't think they do. In fact, I don't think they've ever read it. And referencing Trevor Loudon, he's a remarkable man, great guy, absolutely spot on. He predicted that Kamala Harris would be the presidential candidate. Everybody can say, well, it's Biden. No, it's not. It's Kamala Harris. And he predicted that years ago. Now, we're going to go off to our first break here. When we come back, we're going to continue with Janet Chandler. If you have any questions or comments, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Okay, and we're back.
The Beatles.
And before we get started, we need to wish the old timer happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Terry.
Thank you.
Apparently, it's the best day of the year, according to himself.
Yes.
And nobody would have a better day than he does.
Everyone wants to be me.
This is true.
He's so good that they saved him for the 31st of January.
Yeah, you know, it's such a great day. It's always raining.
There used to be football games.
No, the Pro Bowl.
There used to be.
And now it's the Pro Bowl celebration because these guys are all afraid to be in the same room with each other, yet they sweat and pick their nose and bleed on each other. And
yep.
Basketball's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I mean, there's germs without anything.
Exactly. Well, happy birthday, old timer.
Well,
happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
One for you.
We're here with Janet Chandler, and she is known as Mother Jefferson. And Janet, which we proudly named her, and we will all take credit for that. Anyway, she's here. We're talking about the California Constitution, how the California Constitution has some real nuggets in it. You know, and really and truly, once we get into the preamble, that was in the first section of the Constitution. It really sort of lays things out, and we're going to go right to that right now. So, Janet, my dear, take us away.
The federal Constitution does not have the same sort of preamble that the state Constitution does, because some of what is covered is actually in the Declaration of Independence, where we give credit to our Creator for our rights. But the state of California does not have a Declaration of Independence. So they put the God statement in our preamble, and it's very short. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, in order to secure and perpetuate its blessings to establish this Constitution. And, of course, grammatically, its blessings goes back to freedom. So freedom is our right. It is granted by God. And that's why we have established this Constitution, is to perpetuate the blessings of our freedom. Article 1 of the California Constitution is a Declaration of Rights. Now, in our federal Constitution, that was an add-on. They tacked it on at the end. They didn't think maybe it was necessary. In California, that's right up there, number one, front and center. And Section 1 of Article 1, Declaration of Rights, says, all people are by nature free and independent and have inalienable rights. Among these are enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness, and privacy. Notice how much more detailed that is than in the federal Constitution. Now let's look at some of those words. We are by nature free and independent. That means God gave us our freedom and independence, and it cannot be taken away because those are two of our rights, and our rights are inalienable. But what does inalienable mean? Have you ever really thought about it? It means that you cannot surrender those rights, and you cannot transfer those rights to someone else. You cannot give away your rights. They are inherent in you. You can't give away your soul, your thoughts, your blood vessels. It's part of you. They are yours. Now notice that you have, according to the California Constitution, the right to enjoy and defend life and liberty. You have the right to enjoy and defend acquiring, possessing, and protecting property. How much more distinct can they make that? It's pretty clear just what they intended for you to have. And as Chris Ann Hall has said, those are all rights. Our liberties, our freedoms, they're rights. And our rights are liberty and freedom. It's a circular thing. Then we are given the right to pursue and obtain safety, happiness, and privacy. Now, I've read that several times, and I'm still looking for the part where it says, and government shall obtain for you safety, happiness, and privacy, and I can't find it. So when one of our supervisors says, well, it's our job to provide you with safety, she's lying. It's your job. She can't do it for you, and she doesn't have the right to do it for you. One other thing I want to point out before we get into a detailed look at these. Where in the federal Constitution does it talk about due process? Okay, constitutional students here. It talks about it in the Fourth Amendment. You are guaranteed the right to due process. Well, in the California Constitution, it guarantees you the right to due process in Article 1, Section 3. It gives it to you in Section 7. It gives it to you in Section 13. And it gives it to you in Section 24. Four times the California Constitution guarantees you the right to due process. And in two of them, it guarantees you the right to equal protection. Now, would they put that in there if it weren't important? Oh, just casually, by the way, I think you should have due process. Well, now let's look at what's happened during this COVID mess. Have you been getting due process? When they come in and close your business, have you been given due process? Or do they just come in and say, we're closing you down, and you say, wait, this isn't fair, and they say, too bad. That's not due process. And it's so important that they put it in there four times.
Janet, we do have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Okay. Bob, how you doing? What say you, sir?
Good morning, folks. I got something to say, and I love what Janet's doing because she's spot on. But our Constitution, both of California and the federal government, was written many years ago. If you could get a dictionary back in the early 1900s and look up these words that she is saying and bringing out, and then you look at today's dictionary, the words have totally different meanings. And what they're doing in our government is taking the new meanings and destroying our Constitution of California and the Constitution of the United States of America. And this is something people have to understand. This was written about 230 years ago. And the meanings, people have changed.
Hey, Bob.
And
Bob,
that's what we got to do.
Yeah, Bob. No, actually, it's been revised 570 times, and some of the things that Janet was quoting was done in the 70s, the 1970s.
That's so, in California.
Yeah, California is what he's talking about, what she's talking about.
Bob, besides, they can't do anything that you don't allow them to do.
That's right.
That is true.
The federal constitution.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great day. I'll take the rest off the air.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, the federal constitution definitions are actually contained in the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. And that's where I actually got the definition for inalienable, non-surrenderable, and non-transferable. When we wrote the Constitution for the state of Jefferson, we had quite a discussion about what dictionary were we going to use. And I am totally in favor of the 1828 dictionary because every state constitution is based on the federal constitution. And if the federal constitution is based on the 1828 dictionary, then that's what we should use for ours. Now, if there are terms that don't appear in there, then we can come up with a source for those. But otherwise, let's start with a base. Now, you're going to say, oh, 1828 dictionary, the constitution was written well before that. That is true. But when they wrote that dictionary, they used the terms for the Constitution and put down the definitions that were extant at the time. So you're right, that can be a problem if we don't agree on definitions. But that ship has pretty much been fitted out with sails and set on the ocean.
Yep.
From Britain to America.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's the thing. And so there is, you know, just so people don't get confused, we're talking about the California Constitution and the federal Constitution. And the California Constitution has been changed over 500 times. The Constitution of the United States, the few mere amendments have changed that. That's it. So anyway, Janet, you were going to go into some other things here?
Okay. Since we're basing our discussion on the California Constitution,
right,
on what Chris Ann Hall told us at the conference, let me just give you a few of the nuggets that she threw in before she actually got to the detailed examination of the Constitution. First of all, she made clear that liberty is a gift from God. And as with all of our gifts from God, we are ordered to protect those gifts. They are valuable. So our liberty is something that we are meant by God to protect and preserve and treat as the wonderful gift that they are. We are guaranteed a republic at both the state and the federal levels. Well, what is a republic? We throw that term around. And on the mainstream media news, they are always calling it a democracy. We have to make the world safe for democracy and protect our democracy. We don't have a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
just a very limited one. We have a republic. It's from the Latin res publica, which roughly translated means this thing of the people. And this thing is the rule of law, not the rule of man or the rule of the majority, which is what a democracy is. Well, what's the difference? A rule of democracy means that the majority can say what to do. Whatever whim comes their way, they just vote and say, okay, everybody now has to wear a yellow dress because the majority rules. And the joke has always been, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what they're going to have for dinner. And that's not too far off from what we have now. Just think about our federal level. We do not vote directly for our president. That's done through an electoral college. That is a rule of law, not democracy. We do not vote for our judges, that they are chosen in a different way. The Supreme Court is appointed and goes through a Senate confirmation. That's not democracy. That's a rule of law. The only time we vote is for our legislative representatives, but even then, once we voted them into office, they go to Washington, D.C., and they vote by rule of law. We don't even vote on the issues that they're saying. So we don't have much of a democracy. The closest thing to a democracy we get is at the state level, but even then we're voting for representatives, not issues. Now, in California, we have initiatives and referenda on the ballot, and that's democracy. And there are good issues on that side, but there are also some problems that come with all of our ballot measures. So democracy is not what we have. It's just a small part of what we have. We have a republic, and we're guaranteed that republic.
We also have executive orders.
Oh, yes, and they're so valid.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about that because, you know, we have a president and a governor here in California that like to rule by executive order, mandate, or regulation. Go ahead.
Okay. And obviously, Governor Newsom and his mandates and his executive orders have gotten him in trouble, and it's called a recall. And boy, is he angry about that. How dare these upstart people start telling him that he can't do certain things. There's also another issue that has just arisen. North Dakota is working on a bill that would create a process to review and reject the presidential executive orders. And this is based on the 10th Amendment. Hey, Joe, you don't have the right to do that. And if you do, we don't have the obligation to listen. At the same time, Tennessee is looking at the same thing. Arizona, Missouri, Texas, Nebraska. It's called nullification, that dirty word. If you do something that is not constitutional, we're not obligated to follow it. And the states are standing up and saying, 10th Amendment, nullification, no authority, no relevance.
So then their legislators are going to stand up and interpose between the citizenry and the presidential edicts?
One can only hope.
Yes.
And
what would it be like to be in a state like that?
I know. Well,
we will be.
California's doing that too.
Jefferson.
Yeah. We are interposing between our governor and his unlawful edicts. And there is a difference, again, between illegal and unlawful. Illegal means it's against some law. Unlawful means it's against the Constitution.
Yes.
Well put. We should get into that a little bit more right after the break. We're going to go off to a quick break here. We're with Janet Chandler. If you have a question or comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We must climb a great high mountain. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. This month's review is Kintsugi by Alec and Bradley. Kintsugi is a pleasurable, medium-bodied experience. Notes of cinnamon, earth, and wood are prominent throughout, with very subtle hints of amaretto and almonds. Come down to the shop for your Kintsugi today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, or visit us on Instagram at Tobacco and Brew.
You're so full of doubt, you just can't let it be. But I know if you keep on coming back for more, and I keep on trying,
keep on trying,
I keep on Poco. Trying.
Hey, Janet, we have a request on the chat room. I guess the FM keeps dropping off, you know, because that's where the music sounds better when it plays. The AM's doing okay, but the FM was dropping off, and the request was, can you repeat just that last minute regarding the North Dakota bill?
Certainly, yes. On January 22nd, there was a bill introduced in the North Dakota House that would create a mechanism to review presidential executive orders and to end state cooperation with enforcement of certain orders determined to violate the U.S. Constitution. This process would set the stage to nullify some executive orders in effect in North Dakota, and they're particularly talking about the Keystone Pipeline and, right, and the fracking and whatever. Mm-hmm. So North Dakota, those little upstarts, just think they have the right to look at a presidential executive order and say, no, it's not constitutional, we're nullifying it. The North Dakota people are not going to abide by it because you have no authority to do it.
And they have every right to do so.
And they have every right to do so because that's our federal system of government, and it's also the system that says we rule by law, not by the edict of some how do I describe poor Joe?
Yeah. How do you describe that?
Yeah.
Somebody being manipulated.
Yeah. It's awfully hard to take that poor, pathetic creature seriously. And, of course, you don't, because he doesn't even know what he's signing. They just put it in front of him and say, sign. But not only is North Dakota looking at that, but also the other states that I mentioned.
Texas is one.
Nebraska, Texas, Missouri, Arizona, and Tennessee. And in essence, that's what California is doing with the recall. We are nullifying Gavin Newsom.
Right.
We're saying we've tried, we've gone to court, the courts are very slow, they're not doing what they should do. Therefore, we're just going to remove you from office, and then you can't do the unlawful deeds that you are performing. And he doesn't get it. He gets angry because we're not doing what he says and we're fighting back. So it's a coup against him. Okay, Gavin, call it what you like. We don't want you around. Go.
It's the voice of the people. And that's the thing, too, with the recall. It's the people who are signing it. They're putting their names to paper to be hopefully validated through their registrar of voters for their particular county versus getting a lawsuit put together by a couple of attorneys that go before a judge who's going to look at it and look all great and happy up there and then just throw it out. So we're not going to let it happen with one person being the judge and maybe even some attorneys who may not know what the heck they're doing, because not all attorneys know what they are doing legally and lawfully and with the Constitution and all the other goodies that we have, because we are a republic. You know, they always spew the word democracy. When they do that, I just have to turn them off. So then we're doing it as we the people, you know, every everyday person out there that can sign this recall and have a voice in that.
And it's not a new idea.
No, it's
the,
not.
The Romans called it the vox populi, the voice of the people. Mm-hmm. It's our right, our inherent duty.
That's
to
right.
protect ourselves against overreaching government, because they're inflicting on our God-given rights.
And that's a good point, the point duty. And I'd like you to go into that a little bit, because I know Chris Ann talked about that and talked a lot about things being actually our duty and not so much anything but that. Things that are, when we get our rights from God, our freedoms from God, our liberties from God, it's our duty to protect those because they're given to us by our Creator. And I just want to see your thoughts on that. I know she talked about that at some length.
In our society now, we so often think about our entitlements, what we have a right to. You have to give me a house. You have to give me food. You have to give me health care. I'm entitled. We have responsibilities as free people, and those responsibilities become duties. We have a duty to our fellow man to do what we can to help them. God wants us to do that. We also have a duty to protect the gifts that God has given us. On the other hand, government has the duty to help us secure those rights, to keep us, to protect our rights so we can use the rights that God has given us. God gives them to us. It's our duty to protect them, and it's government's duty to help us protect them. Now, we all know that in California, it's in the penal code, I guess, that says law enforcement does not have the obligation, the duty to protect you. They don't have the obligation to step in and keep you safe. All they have the obligation to do is come in afterwards and make arrests and clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have the duty to do it, you have the duty to protect yourself, your property, your rights, and it's government's duty to give us the ability to do that by not interfering with our rights. Another issue that Chris Ann Hall brought out, which is maybe new to some of you, is that just power, and I don't mean just any power, but just lawful power, comes from the consent of the people. Well, that seems so vague. Where do we give them that consent? Well, anytime you have a contract and you're saying, I'm giving you this ability, it has to be written down. So what is written down giving us the consent, giving consent to the government? And that's our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no power other than what we have written down in the Constitution. And that's where Governor Newsom is getting into such trouble. That's where our Board of Supervisors is getting into such trouble, because they are assuming consent for things that we have not given them the power to do.
I'm going to give a couple of examples of that.
Let's look at some of those. Well, first of all, They closed the board meetings. They locked us out of the boardroom. They don't own that boardroom. We own that boardroom. And I think that the reason given was, well, to keep everybody safe. That's not their job. There is nowhere in the California Constitution that says the Board of Supervisors will make sure that everybody is safe. It's not their authority. It's up to me to keep myself safe. Now, if they want to warn me that there are COVID germs flying around, thank you very much. I will do what I think is necessary. There is no place in the Constitution that says the Board of Supervisors shall mandate masks, shall mandate distancing. There is no place in the California Constitution that says the board will have the authority to close down businesses when they deem it necessary. Nowhere. Nothing that can even be interpreted that way. So what the heck are they doing? Now, here's another problem. Who's going to stop the Board of Supervisors? Who's going to tell them, no, you're wrong? Well, us. And we have been doing that. So, again, you have the duty and the responsibility to protect your rights, and the people in government have the duty to make sure that you have a clear field to protect those rights by protecting you. Now, we talked about interposition, and this is where the Board of Supervisors and the sheriff mm-hmm. come in.
And the sheriff.
Where are these rules coming from? Mm-hmm. Well, they're coming from the state level. And the Board of Supervisors says, well, we have to enforce these whatever they are. They're not laws. We have to enforce it because it's coming from the state. Governor Newsom said, well, it's already been determined by a court that Governor Newsom doesn't have the right to said. So then what are you enforcing? We need to tell the Board of Supervisors, and we have, that they are enforcing nothing. And they could get in trouble. Now, if we had something in the Constitution that said once you violated your oath of office, we can do something bad to you, then there'd be some teeth in it. But the only thing we have is just to stand up to them and say no. They are not interposing between us and the governor's edicts. Where's the sheriff? Isn't he the great impositioner? He's the one who is supposed to stand up and say, I am going to protect the rights of the people. Now, he does that in three ways. He interposes by, first of all, by saying, I am not going to enforce an unlawful edict. And a sheriff can say, well, but I'm not able to determine whether or not it's constitutional. That's up to a court. Baloney. I can look at a law and see if it's constitutional or not. I put the law on the left side, and I put the Constitution on the right side, and I say, nope, they don't match up. That's why it's written so simply. Step number one for the sheriff to impose, not enforcing an unlawful act. Step number two, if someone comes into your business, such as alcohol and beverage control or health and human services, and say, we're closing you down because you're violating an edict from Gabby. The sheriff has the obligation to interpose and say, no, you're not closing it down. This is not a lawful edict, and you cannot enforce that in my county. But there is a third step, the ultimate interposition by the sheriff. And that is to arrest those who try to violate your rights and close your business, or try to arrest you for not wearing a mask or not social distancing. It is the sheriff's duty. He is the constitutional officer in the county, and it's his duty to enforce the Constitution.
You know, and Leonard Modi had made mention at the last Board of Supervisor meeting that we should be enforcing the fact that people should be wearing masks. With that, we do have a caller on the line. Nick, how you doing?
Janet, I'm so happy to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, Nick, too.
The reason they're enforcing these rules is because of money. If they don't enforce the rules, they're not going to get some money, and that's a good answer why the sheriff's doing what he's doing. Here's my question, little sister. I wrote to Leonard Modi after the last supervisor's meeting. I was discussing a closed session thing they had after the meeting concerning one of their employees being dishonest with them. Here's what I said. I would like to know what was discussed in the closed session after Tuesday's meeting concerning Donnell Ewert, and if any resolution was made or if, in fact, anything was voted on. Here's Leonard's reply. You are not entitled to the discussion information from a closed session. If you have additional questions, please contact County Council Mr. Cruz. Do you think they have the constitutional right to hold closed sessions that we don't have privy to? That's my question.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
And you are absolutely right that the stranglehold on both the sheriff and the Board of Supervisors is big, fat dollars. Isn't it about time we, the people, decide maybe we would rather live our lives without some of the goodies that those big fat dollars buy us and instead enjoy our liberty? What are they giving us that money for? Are they things that we could live without, that perhaps we could do on our own without constantly groveling at the feet of the state for your grant money? Oh, please give me a few pennies, throw them our way. I am willing to do without a lot of things in order to be self-sustaining in Shasta County and not constantly be looking at the state for money. And now back to your question about closed sessions. The Constitution says that the people are entitled to
right.
information. And what is it? 11120. Oh, goodness. Says that the people, California Code says that we are entitled to information. But realistically speaking, there are some things, and they are very limited, and they are specified, that can be kept in private. If they are discussing individuals and performance of jobs, you don't want just investigations to be made public when it could harm someone when it's found out that it was not true or unsubstantiated. So I can see under very limited circumstances where a discussion could be private, but it should be made known to the people what they are discussing. We are going to be discussing personnel matters, and then we should know what happened afterwards. Okay, we discussed this, and it was not found to have any substantiation, or it was held to be a terrible violation, and that person's been fired. But in the meantime, I can see privacy, because in the California Constitution, it does guarantee you the right to privacy.
Yeah, and I think the key word was discuss. I think that when you asked that, Nick, the key word was discussed, because there's no finality to that. There isn't a decision made one way or another. So, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the sheriff. I mean, it's their duty to interpose. When we have government overreach, it's their duty. The Constitution is the oath that was signed by the sheriff, both the state constitution and the United States Constitution. That oath is to those two documents, not to some sort of social contract. And, when you stop and think about the fact that the militia, we've had to make a notice to help businesses that the militia would interpose, as Janet so eloquently put, that's not their job as much as it is. They have to do it because we, the people, it is our responsibility, it's our duty, but it's the sheriff's duty. That's his job. His job should be to send a deputy there saying, wait a second, you don't have my permission to do this. You don't have the business owner's permission to do this. This is unconstitutional. And, Janet, I'd like you to elaborate on that a little bit, because I'm getting a little tired of this idea of constitutional sheriffs but a position to where they don't stand. Oh, and one last thing to that. When they do stand, folks, we need to back them. We can't expect one guy just to do everything. We have to back him as the people.
Absolutely. The sheriffs will always, well, not always, but will often say, but it's not my job to determine the constitutionality of something, that's up to the courts. And I disagree. It is the sheriff's job. He is the constitutional authority in the county. Has he read the Constitution? Why is he relying on some court to come back with nothing more than an opinion? And please understand, courts do not issue law. Courts do not issue decisions. Courts issue opinions. They say, well, based on our reading, this is what we think. Well, if the court comes up with a law, who's going to enforce that law by the court? Is the court going to send their army? No, the court's going to send their Board of Supervisors. The authority for constitution in the county is the sheriff. We elect him. He'd better know what the Constitution is. Now, he can just on the face of it look at these edicts from Governor Newsom and know that they're not constitutional. He should be able to. He has a copy of the Constitution. Has he read it? Has he dog-eared it? Has he marked it? Has he made notes in the margin? He'd better. That's his job. There is an organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, the CSPOA. Anyone can join. go online and look it up. You can join, and there is a fantastic video. You may have to do some looking for it. It is a discussion between Sheriff Mack and a sheriff from Indiana. And he describes what happened in his county when he had to interpose between his citizens, and it was actually a group of Amish people,
mm-hmm.
and the federal government. It could have been the state. Anyway, government. And the government came in and said that they wanted to inspect an Amish farm, a dairy farm. And the Amish people said no. And they were threatened with having their business closed down and going to jail. And the sheriff came in, and he said, no, you can't do this. And they threatened him. And he said, I will put you in jail mm-hmm. if you don't back off.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they backed off. They know they had no authority, but they're bullies. And the same thing happens in Shasta County and Tehama County over this COVID thing. They come in and threaten to take away your liquor license. They threaten to shut you down. Say no. And if you have a sheriff who is truly doing his job, he will come and stand with you and for you.
Does it give the list of constitutional sheriffs nationwide in that?
I have not seen a list.
Okay.
And it's constantly changing.
Okay.
At one time, Sheriff Lopey in Siskiyou County bragged about being a constitutional sheriff.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true.
Yeah. And I know Sheriff Mack, and then there was one in Pinal County, Arizona, who mm-hmm. actually stood up and was a constitutional sheriff. But every time you get a new sheriff, then
yeah.
who knows?
Who knows?
But then, that's another duty that we have, to make sure that our sheriff is constitutional. Now, I think our current sheriff will come up for election, not re-election.
Because he hasn't been elected.
He hasn't ever been elected.
Yeah.
He was appointed.
Appointed by the last sheriff.
So, I think in 2 years, in 2022, well, mm-hmm. actually not too far away now, we need to put his feet to the fire and make him declare.
You know, we do have Mark. Mark, is that you, Kemosabe?
Yeah.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes, but Janet is going to be holding over for the next program, and we would love to have you weigh in on this subject. So if you want to give us a quick tidbit now, we've only got about 2 minutes left.
I have two sentences. What happens when none of the agencies involved, because there are probably only two people within the sound of my voice that have ever read the California Constitution. The sheriff's never read it. The governor's never read it. Janet's read it. I've read it. But what happens to the people when none of the agencies involved follow the Constitution? And what happens when none of the agencies involved interpose, will interpose, can be coerced into interposing? What do the people do? And
yeah.
I'll take my answer on the air.
Well, Mark, it'd be great if you would call in to the next program, because that is a really, really good question, and we've only got a minute, and I'd love to be able to throw it, because you'll have Janet, Mark Kent, that'd be great to throw that up to discussion, because it's something we wanted to talk about, but we didn't have time in this program. That is why we are keeping Janet as long as we can, even if we have to bribe her with M&Ms, which I will go home and get for her.
Mark, okay. A quick answer to your question, and of course, we all know the answer. When government no longer protects the people and no longer serves the needs of the people, then we have the right to change our government.
It is called the right of revolution.
There it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it depends on what kind of revolution you want. If you can do it through the ballot box, which looks increasingly not possible, then we've tried the soapbox, we've tried the ballot box. I don't want the ammo box.
Dominion.
But that's
tried the jury box. We tried the soap box. We tried the ballot box. We tried the jury box, and there's only one box left.
We're being backed into a corner.
The final box is the one that goes in the ground.
Well,
yeah.
We've only got about 30 seconds left, so Mark, it would be great if you would call into the next program. We're holding
right.
Janet Chandler over to Sovereign Minds. So if you have a question or comment, you can call Sovereign Minds at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
4:51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
We had no say. You don't serve us, you serve L.A. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.